and welcome to Jilly Bowl, the podcast about that song you know but know nothing about. I'm Jamie.
I'm Emily.
Each week, we will break down a topic from Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire. We'll take turns being the expert each week as we dive into these people, events, etc. Disclaimer, if you are already a history buff, this podcast is not for you. If you are just a sweet dum-dum like us and want to know a little more, you're in the right place. This week's topic is Edsel. And specifically in the song, it is Edsel is a no-go.
Okay.
Do you know what an Edsel is?
I was going to think it's a dude. I just assume everyone is like a white dude in this song.
You're almost kind of not wrong.
Oh, okay. What is it?
It's a car.
Close.
It's a name of a car, but also a name of a person.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a car, and like a car gone bad.
In like a funny, like, Herbie Fully Loaded kind of way.
I wish.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? Wait, is that a movie about a car?
Yeah, I think. It's always scared me, so I wasn't...
Horses scared you. Okay,
everything
I'm sorry.
Scared me as a child. And to this day.
Okay, keep going.
Yeah, it was a car. Produced for 2 years. 1958 to 1960. So very short-lived. Mm-hmm. And I just want to preface with everything that I watched videos. I listened to a podcast. I did reading. But I tell you, cars and automobiles are not my strong suit. Like, my husband knows everything.
I was going to say, I feel like you, of the two of us, you probably know more about cars than I do, but mostly because your husband is more of a car enthusiast.
Maybe. But I can also listen to him talk and then not understand a thing.
Okay.
So... I just wanted to say, like, if I say something that's not true or not correct, like, I felt more comfortable talking about, like, anybody else I've already talked about.
Prokofiev.
Well, I was trying to think of,
your philosopher?
Philosopher.
Santayana,
yeah. Like, I even felt more comfortable talking about something I don't understand and don't like.
Than cars.
But
I feel like you're overthinking it.
I was. But once I like heard the same information 8 different times, I was like, oh, I get it now. So yes. I'm just going to start up at the beginning, mm-hmm. which when this car kind of came to be about.
Yes.
And then like also then cover why it's known as the single biggest car failure in the automobile industry.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like, so if anybody calls you an Edsel, like, it's not good. Or, like, what you're doing an Edsel.
Is not a nice
it's
thing.
It's not a nice thing.
I don't think anyone ever has called me that. Maybe I'm going to call other people that now. That'd be mean. I'm kidding. I won't.
But,
yes,
I mean...
Will. Yes,
yeah,
I will.
Yeah, we will.
Okay.
Okay. So, 1955.
Yep.
They're having a hard time coming up with this name for this car. At this point, the Henry Ford, like Henry Ford, the original, he had retired, and the Ford company was owned by different people and not just the Ford family.
Okay.
At this point. But Henry Ford II was chief executor.
Okay.
Henry Ford II's dad was Edsel Ford.
Okay.
Henry Ford II put together a group of what they called whiz kids.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Already.
Mm-hmm. but I do kind of appreciate what the whiz kids were because they were 10 U.S. Army Air Force vets of World War II.
Okay, well, that's cool.
That part is kind of cool. To be executives of Ford.
It's cool, but it's also kind of like, can you picture a group of grown men being like, what are we going to call ourselves? We're going to call ourselves the Whiz Kids.
Yeah. Well, Okay. I mean, it's also, like, he didn't have a clue, right? Like, just, like, and all of these people were, like, cool people, and they went on to have kind of crazy cool careers. One of the Wiz Kids, actually, was Robert McNamara.
McNamara. Yeah.
And we will cover him some more, okay. I'm sure, in JFK episodes.
Yeah.
But he ended up being the president of Ford, and then he ended up being the Secretary of Defense for JFK, and then president of the World Bank. He became a big, but also, like, maybe not a great big. I'll say this. The Ho Chi Minh Museum has an Edsel car crashing through a wall.
Whoa.
As, like, as a statement piece.
Interesting.
To symbolize the U.S. military's failure during the Vietnam War.
Holy.
So, like, using his time at Ford.
Yeah.
And then his time during the JFK presidency.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, like, Edsel was, like, worldwide known as, like, bad news.
A big F up.
Yeah. So they have... So
why was
Ford,
it so bad?
Okay. I'm going to tell you.
You're going to tell me, yes.
And also, I kind of still don't get why it was so bad, but you'll get it.
Okay.
So yeah, they couldn't come up with the name of this car. So Ford also had an ad agency named Foot, Cone, and Belding. So FC and B. And they asked them for input for the name, which they codenamed this car so cleverly, the E car.
Wow.
So they didn't have, and it was experiment car. So they didn't have a name for it. But this car was huge for Ford because Ford itself had not come out with another car since 1938.
Oh, really?
So that was the Ford Mercury that came out in 1938. Like, they had come up with new models
though,
and everything,
like a new line. Got it.
Since then. But, like, if you think about it, they had a lot of time to figure out what people in the 50s wanted. And, like, the shit that happened, like, 1938,
right.
World War II
was happening. It's not like they're going to be... Yeah,
nobody was buying cars. Everybody was recovering after all of that happened. And so, like, after the war, it was, like, that big era for cars. People were financially ready to afford a car and were, like, looking to buy that big thing.
That makes sense.
So, the E-car was apparently going to have, not apparently, had four different series of cars. So it was going to be like the E-car, four different types that then would have 18 total different models.
Okay.
So whether like two-door, four-door, convertible.
So there was like this whole big plan.
A whole
plan.
Fleet of plan,
like
but didn't
deal.
Have a name or a big plan.
Okay.
But it was going to be big.
It was going to be big. The logistics were planned, but the actual thing itself was not created.
Which... Like, the more and more I read about it, it was like, yeah, the naming of this is, like, just, like, if you don't even have a name for your shit, like, how could any of this go positively?
Yeah.
But, yeah, the ad agency, the FC&B, were excited. They wanted to be able to name the car. Like, they're like, oh, thanks for this honor. Mm-hmm. But they had no good ideas. Like, everything they came up with was shot down. So then, naturally, they asked all their employees to come up with a name. So suggestions from all over the country came in. And of course, they're like, oh, it's a sweepstakes. If you come up with the name of the car, you get your own E-car.
Wowie.
There were over 18,000 submissions.
Do you know what any of the submissions were?
Hell yes, I do.
Yeah, girl.
Actually, I might not know that, but I do know some of the names to come later.
Got it.
Sorry for that excitement.
That's okay.
But anyway, so...
But, like, how they landed on Edsel?
Yeah. Oh, we get
that. That was the best. And I'm not... It's that guy's first name. So I'm not saying it's, like, a bad name. It's someone's first name. But also, like, that was the big
it sexy was just name like, you what, came up with what for were your they car. Thinking? Oh my god, some of these ones are like, okay, Edsel's better than that.
Okay.
So, there are 18,000 names suggested, and then FCMB, like, they comb through those, and then 6,000 of them were presented alphabetically to Ford in a bounded book.
I'm sure he read all of them thoroughly.
He didn't want to deal with that.
No.
He had his market researcher, who was David Wallace, who then, David Wallace was like, fuck this, I don't want to deal with that. So then he asked a research company to find which one the public liked best.
Jeez Louise, they're just passing the book. No one wants to name, they just have to name a fucking car.
Just at this point, name the car.
Also, David Wallace is the name of the boss on The Office. So, yes. I'm sorry. For a second, I was like, wait, I know that person. And I was like, wait, that person isn't real. Okay. So Ford doesn't want to name it. David Wallace doesn't want to name it. They all keep passing.
They go to the research company, which in the 50s, like, that was a whole new, right. like,
the whole that, ad that was the agency,
exciting
right.
part, right? Like, that yeah. was like, oh, ask these public people what they think.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, it was just a really popular thing to do at this yeah. time.
Market research and everything.
So the four names at the top of that list.
Oh, okay.
Of the eight, like from the 18,000 down to the 6,000 to the top four names
yeah.
were the Corsair.
That's not terrible.
The Citation.
That's bad.
Pacer.
There is a car called yeah, that now.
There is. Okay. And a Ranger.
Okay.
Which I think is also a car now. Maybe. Yep,
maybe?
I don't know. Nobody was cool with it. Everyone was dissatisfied. They were just like, no, this car has to be like, it has to have the best name. Like, those aren't it.
All right.
So, they then were like, huh, we can't figure this out. So, they needed to ask somebody who was skilled with words. But then, like, oh, but maybe you should talk to people who don't know a thing about cars. So Bob Young was another guy who worked for David Wallace, and his wife, Marianne Moore.
Yeah,
they were like, Marianne, we gotta ask her.
We gotta talk to Marianne about this.
We gotta talk to a woman about this.
Can you talk to a lady we trust?
I mean, so she wrote poems, and she had actually won a Pulitzer Prize for her wow. poems and several other awards. So she was like an accomplished writer.
She dope.
She came with some names, all right, though.
Oh, shit. Oh, Marianne.
Oh, I no. can't with
I spoke
these names.
Too soon. Oh, no.
I can't. No, like, I can't. And I love to do, like, a fabulous lady ending, but, like, I couldn't ask about Marianne because I thought that these names were...
Was she doing alcohol?
Maybe. Okay. I mean, we don't say that as a bad thing.
No, but like...
Okay, I'm just going to tell you the names. I'm okay. going to read through them and feel free to, like, add.
To talk.
Utopian Turtle Top. Andante Con Moto. Mongoose Civic.
Did you just have a stroke? Mongoose?
Civic.
What was the first one again?
Utopian Turtle Top.
Sounds like a band.
Andante con moto.
That sounds inappropriate.
Mongoose Civic. Pastelogram.
Oh my god, Pastelogram is the name of my next album. Pastelogram.
Coming out soon. Next June.
Dropping. Pastelogram.
Intelligent Bullet.
These sound like default like passwords that you yes. get, where it'll be like, write this word in so I know you're not a robot.
And then, I don't know, bullet cloisonne?
I don't even know. Cloisonne.
Cloisonne?
No
bullet
idea.
Bullet croissant.
Bullet croissant.
Yeah, and so basically all the dudes at Ford were like, hard pass.
Okay,
thanks.
Marianne.
Thanks, Marianne. Oh, have Marianne. Another daiquiri.
Marianne, I feel like you did not help ladies with that. This was not a terrific lady moment.
No.
I mean, it was terrific. It was terrific. I'm having a terrific time, but woof, Marianne.
I just couldn't. Like, I was like, you're too poetic. Like, you're too hard, girl. Too Man, hard.
Marianne was doing some good stuff.
Oh, God.
What year is this?
Like, 55, 56, 57.
Oh, that's right, because it finally comes out in
57. Yeah, this is the fall of 57.
Oh, okay, all right.
So, at this point, they look back at some of the other names. So, like, this, and this was led by an executive committee that was headed by the vice president of the company, Ernest Breach. So, basically, like, Henry Ford was on vacation at this time, I think, of course.
Right, and he's older.
And whatever, but he was like, Ernest Breach was like, okay, we need to freaking name this thing. And so one of the names was Benson.
Nope.
And that was for Henry Ford's second kid.
Was Henry Ford's second kid named Benson?
I don't know if it was Henry Ford the first or Henry Ford the second.
Someone's kid name is Benson,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, Benson.
Okay.
Edsel, which obviously they go with, was Henry Ford's son who had died in 1943 at the age of 49. So it was like in honor of him.
Oh, okay.
But my favorite they were coming up with.
Oh, my.
At the same time that Edsel was being thrown in the air, they came up with the name The Droff.
The Droff?
D-R-O-F.
Droff.
Spell it backwards.
Ford. Oh my God! It's a conspiracy.
Men!
I know, we're gonna spell our name backwards.
That'll get them.
It's so catchy. What?
Yeah.
Oh, Droff. My God. Okay,
if you ever buy a car named a Droff,
you've made a terrible
You're
mistake.
A joke.
Okay, this is making me think about my career choice. Because it's been, some of these people, it's been their fucking job to name this damn car for years. They're getting paid to just be like, what are we gonna name this car? I don't know. Let's ask Marianne. Yeah. I don't know. Let's pull 18,000 employees. Yeah. Like, what the hell? That's their fucking job?
Yeah.
Just dinking around?
Yeah.
And they come up with Droff?
Droff.
Okay.
So, you
We're
know,
still not at Edsel.
Ernest Breach, then, at that moment, was just like, Edsel's the best. We're gonna go with Edsel.
Honestly, it's not the worst.
It's not the worst, but also, like, in Henry Ford II and Edsel Ford's widow, they were pretty reluctant.
Huh.
Because they were just like, I don't know. Like, that's a lot to put, like, his legacy on a name of a car.
Understandable.
Which, like, also foreshadowing of, like, it's not good.
Yeah.
But they did agree. So that was the whole naming debacle surrounding this car.
So we haven't even gotten to the car itself yet.
Now to the parts of the car that like I tried really hard to learn and understand.
Yeah.
But like basically they really hyped up this car.
Okay.
Like they had dropped a day like in the news. They called it E-Day.
Oh God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which was September 4th, 1957. All so right. It was like in magazines, like, wait for E-Day. Like they had ads with like
teaser trailers.
Teaser trailers. Basically. They'd have ads in magazines that were like kind of like a sunset image where the car is going too fast to see. Oh. Like the car is blurred out. So it's just like a dark image.
Okay.
And was like, oh, there's been some rare cars on the street or something. Like, look out for E-Day. Or there'd be cars on, like, a tractor trailer where, like, the new cars are being transported. Yeah. But they're wrapped.
They're, like, covered.
Okay. So you can't see them. So they, like, dropped a lot of promotion.
They're trying to get up a lot of hype for this car.
Yeah. There was even a top-rated television special called The Edsel Show.
What?
Mm-hmm. So, like, there was a... It, like, the whole premise of it wasn't about the car. It was, like, famous people just being on the show and being interviewed.
They said, like, a weird variety show.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, promoted by...
Yeah, like, they'd show up in the car or something.
God, TV in the 50s and 60s was, like, fucking bonkers.
Yeah. So, in 1958, they made the four Edsel models.
All right.
I'm going to get a little numbers with you and, like, some details, but I feel like it's important and then make sense a little bit down the road. So, the Citation, which was more of a Mercury-based vehicle, like the other Mercuries that they had made.
Okay.
The Corsair was... The Corsair, and there was the smaller car, the Pacer, and then the Ranger. The Citation had two-door and four-door options, and hardtop versions, and two-door convertible options.
Okay.
The Pacer was available as a two-door or a four-door hardtop, four-door sedan, or two-door convertible. Like...
So many options.
So many options. The Ranger could be in two or four door hardtop or sedan versions. And then there was also four door Bermuda and Villager wagons. I don't even know where they come from. And the two door Roundup wagon. And those were apparently like station wagons.
Okay.
But these were all like the Edsel models.
The Edsel model. All I know is that I want a Bermuda.
Yeah.
That's the option I choose.
Four-door Bermuda, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would like.
But, like, so many different parts.
It's a lot of different
like
parts.
For, like, one car, like, to, like, come out the gate with.
Right. So they did, okay, so of the Edsel, they did, the, of those four names you previously said, so that each, okay. So it's
they
like
used
an
some
Edsel
of those, yeah,
Citation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So... Another thing to note was that there was not a dedicated space for the Edsel, so it was being made in the same factories as in many number of other Ford vehicles
okay.
were still being produced. There was a huge lack of quality control and a lot of confusion with other parts other cars.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, like, some cars were sent to dealerships not finished.
Oh,
some were, like, they had, like, noticed that they weren't finished and then put the missing parts in the trunk. And then it was, like, for the dealership to finish.
So just, like, some car salesman is going to figure out where to put the parts in
yeah.
the car?
Yeah. And, like, some didn't even get the parts.
It's not IKEA furniture.
No. No.
It's a car.
And, like, some cars were, like, installed, like, the wrong... Oh, God. Like, the wrong width of something. Like, the wheels. I didn't write it down.
It's okay.
But, like, things were not correctly put together sometimes because they didn't have the designated space. And things were so close but yet slightly different between, like, the different number
well,
of
I
doors.
I would imagine,
and,
like, if there's a, there's, like, 18 different models of the same car.
Yeah.
Oh
and
God,
it was
sounds
all...
like a logistical nightmare.
Yeah.
The organization part of my brain is very stressed out
yes.
about all of this.
So, like, dealerships were pissed.
Yeah,
they're like,
you can't sell
how
that.
Can we sell your car if it's not put together? I'm not a mechanic.
No,
I'm not
a
mechanic shop.
I'm a car dealership.
Yeah. So that played another big role of, like, dealerships were just like, you're going to have this car for cheap because, like, we...
I don't know.
If you know how to fix this, do you know how to put the blinker in? Do you know how to put in a side mirror? Like,
no.
I don't know.
No.
I'm sure it wasn't things like that, but I'm sure it was.
Right, but still.
Like, you know, things that make a car
I would not buy a brand new car that is not put together.
Right.
No, thank you.
Especially, like, families were buying these cars... Because they finally had the money to do so. And, like,
right.
it was just, like, the economy was starting to come
right.
back. On the flip side of that, it kind of wasn't coming back. Like, it had come back, and
okay.
then there was a bit of a recession at
okay.
the end of the 50s.
All right.
I think I kind of get into that later. But
okay.
Other than the poor workmanship, the cars were named to also have faulty power steering at times. which, like, power steering was a newer thing.
Okay.
And if you were going to pay money for a car to have it, like, you damn well better have it.
I mean, yeah.
Also, during rainstorms, the trunks were reported to leak.
Why?
And that also, some of them showed that the odometer showed fewer than the actual miles traveled.
That's not good.
Like, I feel like I would just be tricked by that. I'd just be like, I don't actually know. How does anyone know?
I don't know.
I don't know.
No idea.
No idea.
No.
But the Edsel did have some things that were considered innovative at the time. They had a rolling dome speedometer.
Mm.
So kind of like a compass.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing. Which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And it had warning lights for if the oil was low or if the parking brake was engaged.
Okay.
It also had, like, in the oil, like the stick.
Yeah.
To know, like, to test your oil.
Oh,
like,
that was, like,
that wasn't
a new
always
thing.
A thing.
Oh,
so, like,
sure.
It had that. And it also had push-button teletouch transmission shifting system.
What
so,
does
like,
that mean?
Shifting. Like, when you put it in, like, the vroom,
yeah.
vroom, all of that. In the center of the steering wheel. So, it was, like, buttons. Like,
what?
D, drive, R, reverse. Like,
instead
in the
of
middle.
Actually having a...
So it was like, this is great because you don't ever have to leave your hands from the steering wheel.
Okay.
Which was, I mean, kind of cool, but also, like, in the middle of the steering wheel. Like, that's where your horn goes.
That's
so, like,
dangerous, right?
That's what I thought. So I read some more on it, and I guess that it had, like, a fail-safe that you couldn't change it over 5 miles per hour. I
okay.
never figured out where the horn was, though. And I just want to know, how the hell did people honk?
Where's the horn?
How did they honk?
That's funny.
But just, like, what? And, like, you look at it, and it does look kind of streamlined and cool. Like, the drawings of it especially. Like, in the ads. Like
does it look like it would have been? Was it pretty? Was it a pretty car?
I thought so. I think so. But, I don't know. They apparently also had self-adjusting brakes, which wasn't Ford's invention.
All right.
I think it was the Studebaker? I don't know. But, I mean, they still had it, so that was pretty great. That was a newer invention of cars.
Cool.
And then it also had seat belts.
Hmm.
It was an additional cost, I think, to have seat belts. And it was also childproof rear door locks that could only be used opened with a key.
Okay, good.
So,
I mean, there's some features there.
There were some features. I guess the grill of the car, do you know what the grill is?
Yeah.
Okay. Like the front. It was something that was really distinct for the time period. Like that
mm-hmm.
was something that looked different for sure than some of the other cars. One popular joke was that it resembled an Oldsmobile sucking a lemon.
I pulled up a picture because I
just
wanted to see it.
Yeah.
I kind of can see that.
So yeah,
it kind of looks like it has a nose.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I get that. Another critic said it looked vaginal, so that was a thing.
I mean, I guess you can make anything be
dirty.
Phallic or vaginal.
It was a man,
looking.
So.
So I guess
and
there's
some
that.
Other man said it looked like a toilet seat.
I don't see that so much. I would see a vagina over a toilet seat, if
yep.
I'm going to be honest.
Yep.
A toilet seat.
Yeah.
The
so, like,
front. Oh, the grill part?
Yeah, the grill. The very front, that middle nose piece.
I mean, it's... Yeah, sure. Whatever.
You know, like, they just wanted... Critics were critics.
They were being jerks. Sure.
So, the first year... There were 63,110 Edsels were sold in the U.S.
Okay.
Which was way below expected.
Alrighty.
But it still represented the second highest launch for any new car brand.
Wow.
So, like, I had a hard time understanding that, but I think because the Edsel then had so many other types under it,
okay,
that was how it kind of got there. Well,
also, like you had said, there were not, and I don't know what car manufacturers were as prominent at this time period, but obviously it's not like, because it was shortly after World War II, it's not like everyone was coming out with a new car all the time.
Right. And so, and like, cars were becoming more affordable and like
not more of like a norm for people, for a family to own a car.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, like, it was far below expected, but like, still not a ton of them were sold. In its second year of production in 1959, it only cut back to having 2 Edsel series. So it like got rid of half of them.
Okay.
And only had Ranger and Corsairs available. And that year, 44,861 were sold. So even less, by like a third.
Oh boy.
Mm-hmm. In 1960, only 2,846 were produced.
And that's like not any.
That's none. Like none. And at this point, some of like the parts of the car, like the major sheet metal to make the cars, were being shared with other cars at Ford. Like some of them, which I was kind of excited to hear, because I, not knowing much about cars, I do really like the Ford Fairlane. I do somehow know about the car, the Ford Fairlane.
I don't, but I'll take a look at it.
Could come in a hard top convertible where you push a button goes back into the big old trunk.
Cool.
I just like envision myself with like a scarf in my hair and big old sunglasses and just
in your Fairlane.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
But anyway, some of the like major sheet metal was being shared with other Ford cars because it was like, well, we have it, so let's make it work for these other vehicles.
Uh-huh.
So Ford announced the end of the Edsel at the end of the year in 1959.
Womp.
Yeah, basically, like, in 1960, it was making and finishing with the materials that they had.
Oh, okay.
It was like, well, we have them.
They're like, we have all the parts, we might as well make these
try
parts
to sell
and try
these.
To sell it.
Yeah. So the total sales for that, the total sales for all of the Edsels that were made was about $116,000.
Dollars.
Dollars. Which was...
Wait a minute. Of all of the Edsels sold ever...
They
made $116,000?
$116,000. Yeah.
That's like no dollars.
I feel like my math might be wrong, or my numbers could be wrong.
No, it might not be. It sounds good.
Maybe. Wait. That doesn't make any sense. That is not dollars, because I didn't put a dollar sign. Oh. It's like the number of cars.
Oh, the number of cars. They sold 116,000.
Yeah, sorry about it.
No, it's okay.
This number will make more sense when it comes to money.
Got it.
So, 116,000 cars, which was half the company's projected break-even point.
Oh, God.
Yes. They lost $350 million, which, comparative to, like, money today, would be, like, the company losing over $2
billion. I was going to say, if that's, like, almost half $1 billion in the 50s, that's, like, billions of dollars now.
Yeah. So,
whoops.
Yeah. So basically, the Edsel was the wrong car.
It was just
like time.
Like, it almost makes me think of, and I haven't even watched all of it, but it makes me think of like Mad Men, where it's like a marketing campaign went out of control.
Yes.
And you put the cart before the horse.
Yes.
You got out of control.
Yes.
It's like the Fire Festival of Cars. Oh my God, have you seen that documentary?
No, but I've read it. I've read about...
Oh my God, yes. It's basically this.
It's
this.
It's 100%
Someone
this.
Planned the hype and did not actually do the follow-through, and it was horrible.
Oh my God. So bad.
The Fire Fest... Yes. Okay.
I do need to watch it, though.
It's on Hulu.
It's on,
so
like,
good.
My watch list.
Oh my God, you have to watch it right now.
But yeah, like, so it was wrong car, wrong time. It was like during a bit of a recession. Like, not only Ford's, but other companies had also been taking a hit at that time, too. And, like, Ford, it was so stupid because Lincoln is another, like, a sister model of a Ford.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lincoln was, like, the shit right then. And so it was, like, you're competing against your own self, really.
Right.
You should and it just basically didn't live up to the hype. Yeah.
Wow.
But, as you can imagine, they are quite collectible now.
Because it's almost like almost like a joke. I wonder if Jerry Seinfeld has ever done a Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee in one.
Ooh.
If he hasn't,
I hope we should
tweet at him. I'm sure he'll get back to us.
I'm sure. He's like not too busy.
No.
But so get this. There are less than 10,000 cars still around.
Wow.
A mint condition Edsel convertible from any of the models throughout the years of its production could sell for over $100,000.
Wow.
Yeah. The rarest body style is the 1960 Ranger convertible. Only 76 were made, and there are 25 known to be around today.
Huh.
So, like, hardly any.
So, like, none.
I didn't understand this. That was the rarest body style.
Okay.
And then the rarest model, I don't know, is the 1960 Ranger Deluxe Interior 4-Door Hardtop Model 57B.
The turtle top? The Prisma... Oh, man. The Prismacolor? The Prima?
No, that never went anywhere, I know, unfortunately.
Pastelogram. Yeah, I remembered it.
I mean, that had to have been my favorite.
Pastelogram.
Yeah. But, yeah, that one, I guess, was going to be released as the 1960 Corsair, but then, like, wasn't. So only 31 were produced. Okay. Ever. So, like,
so if again, you got like one none. Of those,
that's why.
Oh, okay.
So this is where I took an even deeper, deep dive.
Yes.
Because I had to find a lady, and I wasn't about to just go on with Marianne.
You were
going to
leave it with Marianne.
Couldn't
let it go.
But one lady I wanted to mention is Maria Cristina Vettore Austin, who is better known as Christina Ford.
Okay.
Who was Henry Ford II.
Uh-huh.
Second wife.
Got it.
So, she was born in Italy and lived there. She married a Canadian who was serving in the Navy. They were married for 10 years.
Wow.
And then they divorced in 1955.
Mm-hmm.
Christina met Henry Ford II.
Yeah.
I'm not going to keep saying the second. Just know that we're not talking about the original.
We're not talking about the original.
Dude.
Okay.
But she met him in 1960. So, this was after all of this Edsel shenanigans had already taken place. But they met at Maxim's in Paris. And they got married in 1965. She was very popular in magazines. She was called the complete Italian.
Is she like a model or is she just like a socialite?
She was a socialite. Okay. It seemed more like she was very pretty.
Okay.
I will say that. And that she was also considered, she was called a highly effective ambassador for the Ford Motor Company. And she made many best dressed lists. And like, I read some of the Life articles and like some of the things was like, I don't know why women try to do something other than be their husband's wife and like bullshit like that. And I was like, girl,
this what Christina be saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm just like, why? And then part of me was like, shut it down. I'm not going to do any more research on this lady anymore. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know. Okay. After being married to Henry Ford for 11 years, they ended their marriage.
Uh-oh.
In that moment, she got $16 million in their divorce.
Get it.
And I'm going to skip ahead a little bit, but in 1988, once he died, she filed a suit against his estate seeking an expanded alimony claim that was worth another $5 million.
Girl!
She ended up dying on Christmas Day.
Oh, God.
I just wanted to get that out there. Just needed to share because it's just like, whatever. Okay, 2008. She lived much longer. Oh, wow.
Did she get that $5
million? Yes.
What?
I think so. I don't know.
This girl. Okay.
But anyway, backing it up.
Yep.
Back it up. She was good friends with Imelda Marcos, which at the time in the 70s was the wife of the president of the Philippines. Wow. They spent a lot of time together.
Okay.
And I guess Ford had thought that they were lovers. Which Christina was like, we ain't. We're just good friends. Like, we're just good friends.
We're just friends.
We just travel the world together. I like being with her more than I like being with you. Which then I re-identified with her and was like, no, this chick is cool. Like, okay.
Alrighty.
One of the times that Christina was off traveling with Imelda, and part of the rumors of why they ended up getting divorced was that Henry Ford was trading her in for a younger woman who was only 36 years old.
He was trading her for a newer model.
A newer model, some would say. I'm so sorry. I know. If you didn't do it, okay, I was going to do it. Named Kathleen Duras.
Kathleen.
And that was made public because Henry Ford got arrested for drunk driving. And Kathleen was with him.
Oh, boy.
That's so it was, like, right around all of that time. And Kathleen DeRoss at the time was like, oh, I hope I'm not getting all this publicity just because I was with him.
Oh,
like, God. Kind of that sort of thing.
You're the worst.
So a little bit on Kathy DeRoss. She was widowed at 19. 19 years old. She was widowed. What? Her musician husband was killed in a car crash. But during this, and like in the 70s, right before Ford and Christina got divorced,
yeah,
there was rumors that in 1976, Ford and Kathy DeRoss spent time with Ford's friend Prince Stanislas Radziwill at his house.
You just said sounds there.
I said a lot of sounds, but... Okay.
So Prince Ford is friends with a prince.
Prince Radziwill's son is Anthony Radziwill, who was married to Carol Radziwill on The Real Housewives of New York.
Whoa! What?
Yeah.
This was weird.
Weird, deep dive, but my whole life has come full circle that I could relate it to my reality TV life.
I was going to say... It sounds, I mean, Christina even almost sounds like a person who would have been on Real Housewives of some city.
Yeah, if it were only so had funny. Started
her earlier. And Imelda, I would have watched the shit out of that Bravo show.
Yeah. Oh my That's God. Beautiful. Best friends will travel.
We're not gay, we're just traveling together.
We're just friends.
Come on, Henry. We're just traveling the world.
Like, there were so many moments when I was researching that last little bit that I'm like, nobody cares about this. Nobody cares. But I'm like, no. The fact that I could relate it to Real Housewives.
I have to get to Real Housewives.
I had to. So sorry to everybody who was like, just shut up already. Sorry. Can't.
No.
Love to.
You had to wait for the gem at the end. Oh, boy.
This little gem. And I love Carol Radziwill.
That's so funny. She's great.
So, Edsel was a no-go.
Edsel was a no-go. So, I don't... I honestly don't
use it as an insult.
Because if you really don't like someone, call them an Edsel.
Yeah. I mean, it's really...
Let's start this trend.
It was a whole thing. But
That's hilarious.
I'm more knowledgeable about cars now. I hope you all, too.
I feel like I now know that I have more unknowns than knowns. So at least I'm more self-aware of that.
There you go.
I feel like there's no way that the Edsel started the fire because it was...
I don't think so either. But I think it was like... it was something. And like
people... It wanted to, but it clearly couldn't have.
Yeah. They like wanted to... They hyped it up.
It was just hype. I can't... You have to go watch the fire documentary right now.
Let's go watch it.
And then you'll understand.
Yeah.
Okay. But this is the same thing, except for instead of a car, it's a really horrifically executed music festival.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, okay. Man.
That's
all. No go.
No go.
Go to sleep, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Wir sind hier zum Feiern.